Amen. All right, if you have your Bible, turn with me to the book of 1 Kings this morning. 1 Kings chapter 17. The book of 1 Kings chapter 17. And while you're turning there, again, I have really enjoyed the testimonies and the songs this morning. Thank God for it. And, I hope your desire is to worship the Lord this morning, to really adore Him. When we adore Him, we hear His Word, we're thankful. We adore His Word. We are blessed of His Word. Amen. And all that God gives us, we should be just in our soul overwhelmed with gratefulness that the Creator of heaven, the God that made everything, that made man in His own image, would allow us to see His words, to feel His Holy Spirit, to be in His house, to be a part of that, and what that means. Our mindset when we come to the house of God means a lot. It means a lot. It means whether we're going to actually get anything or not get anything. If, when I come to the house of God, all my mind is upon is my worry and my problems and my troubles, and not the God that fixes that. The God that can fix those things. The God that can change those things. And then, like the brother said, the God that's in control of those things. No matter what comes our way, to realize that we are in the divine hand of God as His children. And nothing comes our way without the Lord allowing it, without God knowing it. So we should need to be content. Paul said, whatsoever state I am, and therewith to be content. First Kings chapter 17, the Bible says in verse 1, and Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan, and it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. That's as far as I'll read for sake of reading. I am wanting to, I guess, in my heart and in my mind this morning, concentrate on the man of faith, Elijah. This prophet, great prophet of God. And to look at Elijah's life and realize that Elijah's life is not very different from our lives. The Bible says in the New Testament that he was a man of like passion as we are. He's a man just like any other man. He had flesh. He trusted God. He was waited on the Lord. He ate. He slept. He drank. As far as you know, he wasn't an angel or a cherubim or a seraphim. He was a man, and I absolutely would not even begin to claim that I'm any kind of man that Elijah is, but I'd love to be like Elijah was. As far as his walk with God, his trust in the Lord. And God lets us, I believe, know about these men and women of faith in the Word of God. We read in Hebrews chapter 11, and he mentions one right after another, and just a brief excerpt of what they did or did not do, and how that it was by faith that they lived their lives. By faith. And, you know, we are what we are with God by faith. We are saved by faith, by grace through faith. And that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. And we walk by faith. We walk by faith every day. We get up, whether you realize it or not, you're walking by faith. And we're walking this spiritual walk by faith. We've not seen Him with our eyes, nor heard Him with our ears. But we do have another kind of ear that we've heard Him, and eyes that we've seen Him. That spiritual, that of faith that you and I live by every day. And we put our faith in what God has said. We put our faith in who God is and what His Word has promised. God has promised us some things. And so we believe that and we trust Him. We are trusting in His ability, not our ability. I was listening to a man the other morning, and he was talking about, our relationship with God, and how that, you know, God looks upon us through His Son, how that God accepts us. God accepts us. And he said this, he said, we need to accept that God accepts us. And I thought that was really good. I mean, when I look on this page, I'm thinking, that's God's man right there. I mean, that's Elijah the Tishbite, amen. This man, there's not a doubt in my mind, God accepted that man. I mean, God let him call fire down out of heaven. God had commanded ravens to feed this man. And I accept that God accepted Elijah, but sometimes I have a hard time accepting that God accepts me. Well, we're His children. God accepts you just like He accepts Elijah. You're His child. Listen, He's going to take care of you as much as He'll take care of Elijah. He'll do for you. Elijah did not have a key that none of the rest of us have. He had faith. And that's the same key you and I have. Faith. God, give us that faith. Thank God that the Lord has given you and I that faith to believe in Him. He was a man of like passions. Now, here in this chapter, he stood before two. He stood before a wicked king, Ahab, and he stood before, in verse 1, the Lord God of Israel, he said, before whom I stand. So he was standing before Ahab, the king, and he is standing before God. He knew, but he was a man that feared God and not man. Now, we see later on in life, that changes for him. Suddenly he's afraid of what the king's wife would do to him. And I don't know if the Lord let me get that far into talking about that, but here at this point, he is standing before God. He knows. It doesn't matter who else is around. I stand before the Lord. You see, God, Elijah knew that he stood before God, that God saw him, and God knew him, and God had a purpose for him. God had divine direction for him. And he told him, he said, there's going to be no dew, no rain these days for my word. And so Elijah was a man of faith. He was a man of prayer. A man of prayer. And not only a man of prayer, but a man of secret prayer. A man of powerful prayer. Down in verse 17 through 24, you see where he prayed for this widow woman's son who had gotten sick and died. And he took that son away from the mother in the upper chamber. He went into secret prayer. A man of secret prayer and powerful prayer. There for one purpose, stretched out his hands and his feet over top of that child. For whatever reason, maybe felt like that's what God wanted him to stretch his life over top of the life of that dead child. Whatever that it was, and he prayed, let his child's soul come into it again. And it did. Amen. That's why he brought him up there. Amen. You don't bring a dead child upstairs and then not believe that God can put his soul back in him. Amen. You take that child into that secret place and you believe God can bring its soul back into it again. Believe God can do something for your child again. Amen. I'm not talking about resurrecting the dead today. I'm talking about those wayward children or something's happened. Whatever that it may be. But I'm talking about this man was a man of prayer. He was a man of secret prayer. He was a man of powerful prayer. He believed. Man of faith. He lived by every word of God. This was where he gathered his strength. In verse 2, the word of the Lord came. The Bible says man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Now, we're going to find in this story that he is going to be fed flesh and bread of a morning. Flesh and bread of, are you listening to me? But you know what? The word came before the bread came. The word came before the bread came. He was living by every word of God. The word of God above his daily bread. When we live by the word, listen, the bread, it'll come. It'll come. Amen. God's provision, the way God wants to provide it. God will send it, amen, to you and I. We don't have to worry. Listen, God took that which seemed impossible to provide for Elijah. God took the weakest woman in Israel, little old widow woman that had very little left to give life to her and her son. And yet God chose her. God chose her. God chose the smallest, amen, to provide the most. God wants us to recognize His hand in providing for us. Amen. Sometimes we look around and we say, I'm so little. That little boy with a little lunch. So many things little, yet God uses it to provide. Amen. The most. God has a way. Listen, God has a way of bringing you and I to a place of drought to perform a miracle. Amen. Oh, yes. He gives us divine direction. First he was there at the river brook. Brook Cherith. He said, you stay there. The ravens will feed you there. It was up to him to obey. It was up to him to stay. Are you listening? To stay, to be still, and know that God was God. To stay right where he was.
even when the water began to trickle down, to stay because he hadn't heard from God. Listen, God didn't say anything even the day that it dried up. But finally, God did say something. Go down to this widow, Zarephath. I've commanded her to feed thee. When you get to her, she acts like she's not heard anything. He comes and he says, make me first. She didn't say, oh yeah, the Lord told me about you. She said nothing about it. But no doubt God commanded her. Did she fully hear? Well, she obeyed. I know she obeyed. She obeyed when she heard Elijah's word, make me first. Make me first. That little bit you've got left, make me first. I mean, that was all they had. Make me first. There's nothing left. You know, that's the way God does us sometimes. He'll say, me first. And we'll say, if I put you first, there's nothing left. There's nothing left at all if I do you first, God. But I'll tell you, if you'll put God first, God will make sure when you reach into the barrel, there's meal there. They's all in the cruise, amen? The miracle wasn't found at the top of the barrel. It was found in the bottom of the barrel. That's where God wanted her to reach, amen? Oh yes, an empty barrel became a barrel full of meal. And an empty cruise became a cruise full of oil. God did great things, abounded beyond her thinking. Maybe a neighbor will come by. Realize this prophet's over here. And they know I've gathered my last stick. And my last little bit of meal. Nobody had to come by. She couldn't figure it out on paper. Not to look back in there and it full. Not to pull the top off that barrel and there's meal. You can't figure that out on paper. You just have to believe. You just have to believe that God is able. Amen? That God will do. Listen, Elijah was a man who was a man of awakening, I guess you could say, a spiritual awakening to those in Israel who did not believe. He stood in this same chapter 18 and asked them, how long halt you between two opinions? Has the devil ever done anything for you? Serve him. But if God's God, then serve him. I'll tell you, God, our Lord, God Creator, our Savior Jesus, He's the God of heaven, amen. He's the one that gives us life. Baal hadn't done anything for us. They jumped all over top of that altar down there below that, the sacrifices of Baal's prophets. I mean, the Bible said that there was no voice, none that answered them, amen. And Elijah, the Bible said, he mocked them. Amen. No answer in your gods. No answer in your gods. It's Baal. Has Baal not answered you? It's the God you served. He's not sent fire. Hey, how long are you going to halt between two opinions? He repaired the altar after they tore it all down. Dancing all over it. Trying to make a ruckus and a muck. Whew. Then things begin to get spiritual. He said, I'm going to put 12 stones on this altar. One for each tribe of Israel. The God of promise. The God of covenant. God of Israel, the God of Jacob,
God of Isaac, God of Abraham. That's what all that references to. He's God, I put these 12 stones. God knew what those 12 stones were. He didn't have to remind God who He is. Amen. God knows who He is, but there He is. It's more for Himself, amen, than anything. He's building upon the foundation that He knows. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He knows this is His altar. This is an altar that God will recognize, amen. Hey, I tell you, that's what an altar should be. It should be an altar that God well recognizes, amen. God's familiar with. Is God familiar with your altar today? Is God familiar with your faith? Is God familiar with the way you come unto Him? Is God familiar with you calling on His name? That's what Elijah is about to do. And he built the altar with the stones. He called upon the Lord. Not a long prayer. Out of obedience. Prayers already answered in other ways. Out of belief in God's power and God's ability. And remembrance. Do it again, God. Here He is. He wants them to return to God. Now, I can't prove this other than His prayer. But He said down in verse 36... in the middle, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel. This is where he begins to pray. Let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel. Singular. Not enough room for two. Only one. You see, that was the problem with the Israelites. They wanted the God of heaven to be there, but then they wanted these other gods in there too. And Elijah says, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Not of himself. You see, a true prophet of God, even the Lord, the Son of God, said, I do always those things that the Father has asked me to do that pleases Him. And He said, so that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me. Now, he wasn't taken for granted. Listen to this. The fact that God heard him before. It's as necessary that he believes God's going to hear him this time as it was the last time when he said, there'll be no rain. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that these people may know that thou art the Lord God and that thou hast turned their heart back again. He wanted them to have an experience of turning back to God as this is going on. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice. Right now is when the heart needs to be turning, if it's going to turn. And consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, the Lord, He is the God. The Lord, He is the God. But now not all of them fell on their faces. The people but not the prophets. Elijah said unto them, take the prophets of Baal, that not one of them escaped. You see, they're still over there cleaving to Baal, jealous of the reality of God. Some people, no matter what God does, they are adamant against Him. And God reaches out His hand. God stretches out His hand. His prophet has certainly stretched out His hand in prayer, in belief, in faith. The fire has come down. They've never seen Baal do anything like that. They should have, every one, ripped off their Baalish garments and fell on their faces before God. But they didn't. They didn't. Elijah is God's chosen because God reverences him. Elijah reverences God. Elijah is saying, He is the God, only God in Israel. The reverence that he gives to the Lord. There is none other. There can be no Baal. There can be no prophets of Baal. There can be no sign of Baal. What a man that puts out all else except God. Listen, don't ever think that someone's gone too far with God. I mean, listen, now I'm not talking about some crazy Kool-Aid drinking somebody. Are you listening to me down in South America? I'm talking about real faith in the Lord. And really walking with God in sincerity to the Lord. According to His Word. According to His Word. Because there's a lot of people who don't ever want to be in that place. And I don't know why that they would not want to be in that place. To live a life of faith, to see God do things for you, answer prayer for you, to know God in a powerful way, in a prayerful way, in a way of living your life by faith, to see these things, to know in your spirit, in your soul, that God is the one who did it. God is my God. He's my God. I am not between two decisions or two opinions. There is one. His name is Jesus. Amen. The widow, you see, she learned that. And the children of Israel, they're now learning that all by the hand of this one man, Elijah, the Tishbite, the John the Baptist of the Old Testament, amen. He didn't have silk clothes. He is a lot like John the Baptist. But he had, seems like all of God that a man could get. What a life. What a life to live. That's not saying that he didn't have his days of doubt. He did, for whatever reason. I don't have time to get into all that, but what faith, what prayer, what divine direction from God. I mean, to see God leading him step after step after step. The Bible said the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. I know God put me next to this brook. I know God sent me to this widow's house. I know that I'm standing here all by myself next to this altar. Yet God was with him every time. God never forsook him. Never forsook him. Never left him. Amen. A man of obedience. Thank the Lord. When I see Elijah, there's much more. I see a man with a God that answers by fire. A God that'll shut up heaven for him. What would God do for us? Well, let me tell you this. What has God already done for us? God sent his own son for us all. There's nothing greater that God would send his only begotten son that we could have life, have it more abundantly. He sent the Holy Spirit now to dwell with us. One just like Christ, another comforter. What a blessing that prays with us and for us according to the will of God. You and I should enjoy the Christian life as much as anybody ever has walked with the Lord. But we must exercise that faith. We must believe that God will. God wants to hear me. God wants to hear you. God wants to walk with you. He does. He never leaves you. He wants to abide. He does abide. John 15. Thank the Lord that God wants us to have an experience. If Elijah had an experience, he had more than just one experience. He had many experiences. Experience with God. To feel God, to see God, to experience the power of God. And any of us has been saved any length of time, you've been around when you've experienced God doing some things. Amen. Praise the Lord. We still need to see that in these days. Amen. I want you to stand.